Okay, good afternoon. My name is Stephen Smith. I'm the Executive Director of the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. Thank you for joining us on this call to talk about the comments that were submitted on the Allen Fossil Plant in Memphis, Tennessee. First of all, wanted to say that the comments that we're going to discuss today were submitted on behalf of the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy, the Southern Environmental Law Center, the Tennessee Clean Water Network, the Sierra Club, the Environmental Integrity Project, and Earth Justice. And we have submitted these comments in response to an environmental assessment that was done under the National Environmental Policy Act, NEPA, by the Tennessee Valley Authority that really was in response to a consent decree that TVA signed with the Environmental Protection Agency back in 2011 that requires that the Allen coal-fired power plant be either retrofitted or retired by December 31st, 2018. Let me say first that all of us strongly agree with TVA's decision to retire this plant as a coal unit. We take no issue with that. We think that is absolutely the right decision for both environmental and economic reasons for the citizens of the Tennessee Valley and the nation of the world, quite frankly. We believe that TVA should be moving away from coal-fired generation, and we support that decision wholeheartedly. We also, based on a decision that was announced by TVA back in November, support TVA's rebalancing or readjusting their balance of different types of generation. And we think that that is a move that we support, particularly the fact that TVA is decreasing their percentage of coal and looking at increasing their percentage of energy efficiency and renewable energy. We were pleased to see that TVA considered a number of different options in this environmental assessment, but we were disappointed that it appeared that TVA did not optimize the options that are available to the agency. And that is really where you're going to hear a lot of our comments focus in today from the various groups, is that we believe that while the EA did look at various options, we never really saw that there was an optimization. And so we believe that the optimization would not only lead to a better environmental benefit for the region and open options up for TVA, but we believe it would also lead to a better economic set of decisions. And so our comments today, will focus in primarily on that. We have three speakers besides myself that are going to speak. First, Scott Bamberry, who's the conservation coordinator for the Tennessee chapter of the Sierra Club and a Memphis resident. Ann Davis, the managing attorney for the Nashville office of the Southern Environmental Law Center. And John Wilson, the research director for the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. So we're each going to make, we'll make brief comments here at the beginning. John will talk in a little more detail about the specifics of the comments we submitted, and then we're going to open it up to Q&A. So Scott, would you go ahead and start off?
All right, thank you, Steve. Good afternoon, my name is Scott Banbury. I'm the conservation program coordinator for the Tennessee chapter of the Sierra Club. We are the largest grassroots environmental organization in the Tennessee Valley with over 10,000 members and supporters. I'm a 25-year resident of Memphis and a ratepayer of the Memphis Light, Gas, and Water Utility, and I and the Sierra Club fully support the plan to retire the Allen coal plant here. Coal is an outdated fuel source that no longer belongs in our energy mix. We know the Allen coal plant is the largest polluter in Shelby County, which already has some of the worst air quality in the region, regularly ranking as an asthma capital, and regularly out of attainment with ozone standards, which has been a roadblock to economic development here. Every day as this plant runs, more life-threatening pollution will be dumped in our air. Retiring this dirty, outdated coal plant is the right choice for Tennessee and the right choice for Memphis. Now, TVA must take care of the workers and families impacted by this decision to close the plant as it always has in the past. Unfortunately, we feel there's bad news in this plan. TVA wants to replace Allen with a major new gas plant, much larger in capacity than the combined facility that's currently fueling our needs. Trading one costly fossil fuel for another fossil fuel is the wrong choice for Tennessee in light of the new clean power plan. Building a larger than needed gas plant is a dangerous gamble for Memphis. Gas may be cheap right now, but it's not likely to remain that way for much longer. As more utilities switch from coal to gas and global demand for our gas supplies grow, prices will jump. Besides, the more that we learn about the emissions of natural gas, in particular the fugitive emissions that result from drilling and transmission, the more concern there is that replacing coal with natural gas will not reduce the impacts with climate change. We don't need to be locked into gas infrastructure in Memphis for the next 40 to 50 years. The ratepayers and the economy of Memphis cannot afford it. Instead, we can replace Allen with a mix of cleaner energy technologies, a combination of wind power, solar energy, more energy efficiency, and the minimal amount of gas needed to provide reliability in the Memphis area can provide an affordable and reliable electricity to TVA's customers and provide for the growth of Memphis. And if TVA picks this path, the utility will protect our families' health, lower our energy bills, create new jobs, and grow our regional economy. Our partners in Tennessee, the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy, Southern Environmental Law Center, will share more details on a plan we put on the table for TVA's consideration and how it would work. The bottom line is TVA doesn't have to make a decision that commits Memphis to a fossil fuel future. It can show real leadership by taking an innovative approach to meeting the power needs of its largest customer. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. Ann, would you like to make a few comments? And you may be muted. We're not hearing you. You want to make sure you're off mute.
Gotcha. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Sorry. This is Ann Davis. I'm the managing attorney with Southern Environmental Law Center's Nashville office. And let me start by saying TVA's Allen Fossil Plant represents an opportunity for TVA to cut its budget while simultaneously increasing its use of clean energy. TVA is currently deciding whether to retrofit Allen with expensive pollution controls or to convert to natural gas. And this expense of converting to natural gas in terms of operation down the road can be considerably reduced by converting Allen to a natural gas plant and combining that plant with additional investments in solar energy. This would be a win-win for TVA and its customers, because it would protect customers from the rising costs associated with natural gas and would offer the opportunities to invest in additional clean energy and resulting lower rates. And I would note that utilities across the country are finding it economic to convert coal plants to efficient natural gas plants and to couple that investment with additional solar power. Natural gas and solar energy pair well together for a multitude of reasons. First, natural gas plants have a relatively low upfront installation cost, but a fairly high recurring cost to buy gas. In contrast, solar power has a higher upfront cost, but provides free energy once installed. Investing in both gas and solar at the same time allows for a cycling of energy types. Much of the needed power comes from solar energy during the middle of the day, and gas plants ramp up production as needed to meet remaining demand. As a result, utilities can avoid buying significant amounts of natural gas, providing a buffer against rising gas prices and thus saving customers money in the long run. Further, you know, this could be coupled with energy efficiency, and energy efficiency is, of course, the cheapest resource available. TVA eliminated energy efficiency as an option here because it determined that it could not meet the entire energy needs of the Memphis area by 2018. But the real question is not whether energy efficiency can meet all of Memphis's needs. It's how much of those needs it can meet. And TVA itself admits that there is a sweeping energy efficiency potential across its service area. Finally, I'll just note that TVA has stated that resources such as wind and solar are too costly, but this statement is outdated and wholly unsupported. For example, from 2011 to 2013, the cost of solar dropped by 50%, and cost of recent wind projects across the country are also lower than projected natural gas prices. So just kind of to sum that up, you know, we believe that TVA would be better served by considering a combination of energy resources at the Allen plant.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ann. And our last speaker is John Wilson, Research Director for the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. John?
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. This is John Wilson. I'm the Research Director for Southern Alliance for Clean Energy, and I'm the lead technical analyst on a lot of the comments. So happy to take detailed questions from you on those points. I'll just hit a few highlights. I think there's three main things where we think that TVA could have done a better job with this decision, or the draft decision, that is. First is in looking at the scale of the different options. We understand why TVA did not feel that a 100% renewable energy or a 100% energy efficiency or some other 100% solution wouldn't work at the Allen site, but to fail to consider a smaller amount in combination with gas we think was a mistake. And as the previous speakers have mentioned, we'd like to see them achieve an optimal scale for each of the resources as opposed to an either-or prospect. Second, reliability is an issue that TVA legitimately brings up at this site, and we believe that the approach we've articulated in our comments, namely putting these resources together in an optimal way, can meet all of the reliability concerns that TVA has and maybe even exceed those standards. And third, there's a concern about schedule. And we understand that some projects for renewable energy might not be delivered by 2018, but we believe there's a wide range of options that TVA has available that are in the vicinity of Memphis and can be matched up with gas on schedule without any difficulty or concern on TVA's part. And so I think those are the basic things that we have addressed in our comments, the scale, the reliability, and the schedule. We've also talked about some of the other concerns that TVA might have in our comments, and happy to address any of those that you all might like to bring up. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, John. So, again, one of the things that folks may have questions about is the fact, so where do we go from here? We believe that TVA is likely to make a decision at their August 21st, 2014, so in just a few weeks, board meeting, which I believe is happening in Knoxville, Tennessee. And we believe that this EA came up quick, and they're on a pretty tight timeline to make a decision. So one of the reasons why we wanted to get our comments in and then articulate our comments more broadly is that we believe that while there are some legitimate issues that are under a tight schedule, we think there is a larger set of issues that probably would allow for more time and more thought. And so some of that is outlined in our comments. But we expect that TVA will likely make a substantial decision later this month at their August board meeting, where they're looking at a lot of budget-related issues. This is the annual, really sort of the biggest annual budget meeting that they board meeting that they have. So with that, let me ask the moderator to come on and talk about how to open it up for questions, and we'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
And at this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star and 1 on your touchtone phone. You can remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Again, it's star and 1 if you have a question. I'll pause for a moment to allow questions to queue. And we'll take our first question from David Flesner with the Chattanooga Times Free Press. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking the call. I wondered, can you describe a little of the mix then you're proposing specifically? And did you say that you want to convert Allen to coal? How much power would that be, and how much you'd expect from wind and solar? Have you got a particular proposal you're advancing to TVA about the mix of each source?
Well, Dave, I'm going to let John handle that, but let me just clarify something. We are not proposing that Allen stay a coal plant or that even Allen be converted itself to a gas plant. We do understand the efficiency advantages of a new combined cycle facility. And then we think there is a size limit to that would then the remaining needs would be met by a combination of things. John, do you want to talk a little bit to that?
Yeah, sure. Hi. So the scale of the plant is not entirely clear from TVA's draft environmental assessment. The current coal capacity at the site is 990 megawatts. TVA has identified a range of options for both combined cycle and combustion turbine plants, anywhere from 800 up to perhaps even as high as 1,600 megawatts, depending on the combination of the numbers you put together. And TVA is fairly vague about exactly how large the total would be. Our assumption sort of in drafting the comments was that TVA was targeting 1,400 megawatts of total new capacity at the site, including 800 megawatts of combined cycle capacity and 600 megawatts of combustion turbine capacity. So you'll see those numbers referenced in our written comments from place to place. But as we noted in the comments, and I'll emphasize, that's just sort of a working assumption that we had. So because we don't know exactly what the target is that we need to hit with a proposal, we don't have an exact proposal to counter TVA's broad ranges. And at any rate, what we're suggesting is sort of a two-step process. First, the TVA identify what is the minimum scale it needs for a combined cycle plant. We understand that there's a schedule imperative for that plant to begin the process of going to contract and engineering and eventual construction. And we know that TVA really wants to launch that process in August. So we're saying move forward with the minimum size gas plant, combined cycle gas plant, that is, that you need to move forward with in August, but hold back the rest of the need at the plant and reanalyze that need and determine whether renewable energy can fit in that niche. And we're fairly certain that the answer to that is yes. There's some engineering work to be done to answer exactly how that would be done, but we don't think there's a whole lot of question that it could be done.
And Dave, we do talk very specifically in the comments about some options of solar tracking and potentially some wind that we feel would be worthy of serious consideration. And these are growing out of collaborative efforts that we have been doing over the past 6 or 8 months with TVA in their integrated resource planning process. So these are not taken sort of out of context. These are contextually embedded in the parallel integrated resource planning process that TVA is undertaking, and we believe that they are valid numbers that have been largely accepted by TVA, and we believe that they are worthy of greater analysis before the balance of the need is fully decided upon.
Is the Clean Line Energy proposal to Memphis at all part of your proposal? Do you see that wind energy as part of the renewable mix you're trying to push?
Well, this is John Wilson, and the answer is sort of a very qualified yes. We understand TVA has some concerns about Clean Line's ability to deliver that project by 2018. So we designed our proposal to not rely on that particular project. We think it would be an excellent fit, and we would certainly advocate that TVA look at it very carefully and try to move forward with that. But we're also suggesting that there are other solar and wind options, and that the time that TVA needs to pull the trigger on a specific contract with one or another renewable energy project is not today. They can still meet a 2018 deadline with some package of solutions down the road. And the question is really, how do you engineer and design the site and make sure that you've got the transmission tie-ins appropriately scaled to handle that? And they can look at the details of those projects as during that process. They don't need to resolve that today in August.
So what I'll let others ask other questions, but just final one. What is the minimum size that you're recommending for a combined cycle gas plant, and what's the capital investment you think would be necessary for that?
Well, again, TVA is the only utility in a position to answer that question specifically, because we don't know specifically what the need is that they are requiring that this plant meet. That was not provided in their environmental assessment or in any other public documents. It's our sense that it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 800 megawatts, but it could be significantly lower.
Yeah, and Dave, I think back to your previous question, the Clean Line proposal in many ways just reinforces for us the fact that Memphis has a lot of options here on the table, and that while there are some short-term constraints that are manifest by the date of the consent decree, we don't believe that in any way that TVA doesn't have a real full basket of options that they can execute, particularly if they break this project up into, you know, a piece that is dedicated to the combined cycle unit and then a piece that's looking at optimizing the remaining need, because that need has lots of potential options that would go a long way to, in many ways, coming up with a better balance in their overall portfolio.
This is Scott Banbury from Memphis Sierra Club. There's been a lot of support here locally with our county commission, our city council, Memphis Light, Gas, and Water behind the Clean Line proposal, and most of the whereases that have supported those public bodies' support has been that we'd be locking in energy at known rates long-term, you know, 20-year periods, and that's very attractive to people in our economic development community, kind of hedging our bets against the rising cost of fossil fuel electric generation. Just want to throw that out there.
Thanks. Can move on to the next question.
And we'll go next to Chris Hawley with Energy Daily. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and thank you for holding this interesting presentation. A couple of quick questions. When you say the Clean Line, I presume you mean this pretty massive multi-region transmission project designed to bring wind and other renewable resources from the Midwest towards the East. Is that what you're talking about?
We're very specifically talking about Clean Line's Plains and Eastern Line, which is originating in Oklahoma and terminating just north of Memphis.
Clean Line has multiple
projects that are coming from the Plains to load centers.
Yes.
But the particular project that is going to actually have a terminus in the Memphis area is the Plains and Eastern project. There is also another project coming out of Texas called the Southern Cross that is being put together by Pattern that also is terminating just south of Memphis in Mississippi. And so, again, there are a number of very low-cost, high-capacity factor wind projects that are going to be injecting low-cost, high-capacity factors, zero-fuel-cost resources into the western part of the TVA system that we think really give TVA a lot of options here.
I see. So just to make sure I understand, when you're talking about the wind component of the solar and wind options, you are referring not necessarily to new wind projects in the immediate area around Memphis, but to those projects that you just described. Is that correct?
No, you're actually looking at projects that are actually becoming available because of new technology for lower wind speeds that could be actually developed in West Tennessee and in Arkansas. John, do you want to talk a minute about that?
Yeah, and I'm happy to take follow-up questions on it, but very briefly, the maps have changed quite radically in the past few years. Anyone who has looked at a map of wind availability 2 or 3 years ago would have seen the southeast as having some good spots but relatively limited areas. Mm-hmm. The new technology that has higher hubs and more effective wind turbine calibration to low wind speeds is much more productive in the southeast. And there's a new project that's just been announced we haven't really been too much in touch with the developers yet, but just a couple of weeks ago, Apex announced a project in Tennessee. We expect more projects are going to be announced in the coming weeks or months, and potentially others near Memphis. So we think that there's a lot of opportunity there, and TVA ought to actively solicit communications with developers who have projects in the works.
Thank you. That's very clear. And one final technology question, then I'll get out of the queue and get back in. When you are talking solar, are you talking utility scale projects, or are you talking about a broad penetration of rooftop PV, or a combination of those things?
Well, this is John Wilson. The analysis that we put forward was based on utility scale technology. That's simply to keep it relatively simple and relatively straightforward for TVA to evaluate in the alternatives analysis.
Okay.
That's not to say that we don't think that we think that's the optimal way to go. We just think that that's a good way to start with the analysis. Once you say we're ready to go forward with this much solar, then you can look at the different technologies, the different installation methods, and come up with sort of a more optimal mix within the solar category. But if you've shown that one solar technology works, it's fairly easy analytically to sort of compare and contrast among the different installations.
I see. Thank you very much.
This is Scott Banbury with Sierra Club from Memphis. We've got a really robust solar community here in town, both on the distributed side of things, but also edging towards the development of large utility-scale projects on brownfield sites. Memphis is cursed with quite a bit of industrial property that has been left abandoned, is no longer contributing to our tax rolls, and coincidentally has infrastructure already built to it that could be repurposed to deliver energy back to the grid. And we've got a couple of innovative projects underway right now under the TVA's GPP program that demonstrate the use of rooftop in commercial and government buildings around town.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Next question.
And we'll go next to Christy Swartz with Energy Wire. Please go ahead. Christy, your line is open.
I had the mute button on. Pardon me. Thanks for doing the call today. A couple of just short housekeeping questions. TVA has talked for a long time about retiring or fuel switching plants. So is Allen something that they've just been talking about? What kind of sets this plant apart, and why are you guys targeting it as something specific here?
Well, Allen has been in the discussion for quite a time. If you know the history of Allen, Allen actually was a gas plant in the 1950s when it was owned by MLG&W, and then it was converted to coal. And then it was wrapped up in the consent decree that was signed in 2011. So we knew they had to take some sort of action. And TVA has communicated to those of us who follow their work closely that they were evaluating either retrofitting it, converting it back at the exact same site to a gas unit, but it would be a less efficient gas unit, or going to a standalone combined cycle type of setup at a different location but nearby. And so we've known that this has been in the decision tree for quite some time, and quite honestly, we were kind of surprised that they, you know, because we have been trying to keep in touch with them about giving us a little bit more of a heads up, but it came up very quickly, and then with it being backed up right against this budgetary decision at the August board meeting, it sort of has forced us to scramble ourselves, and we're a little disappointed about that because we've known that this has been in the works for a while.
Thank you. Are there other, let's say, I don't want to do the hypothetical to death, but, I mean, let's just say they don't budge. I mean, clearly TVA's got a little bit of a track record here of taking a look at renewables and energy efficiency. That's one of their big models as they run those models for the IRP. Are there other options going forward for SACE and Sierra Club and others to kind of try to push them to take action?
On other coal units across
yes,
the valley?
Yes.
Yes, I think that TVA has several other units that are what I characterize as sort of being on the bubble, and they've telegraphed a little bit of that. Obviously, the Shawnee plant in West Kentucky, because of the termination of the Paducah gaseous diffusion plant and the fact that it literally is on the very northwest corner of their service territory, is a questionable unit, I think, going forward in the long term. They've also signaled that I think it's Unit 7 at Widows Creek is potentially one that they're looking at options. They're keeping it on. They've announced retiring all of the other units there. There's 8 total units, and that one is operational primarily for reliability and transmission issues that they have in the area. So it may eventually be closed down. We think that as we continue to move into a carbon-constrained world and as we continue to see how to use renewables and efficiency in a better way, that there are likely other targets on the TVA system. But those would be the ones that I would project, and others may want to chime in, but I think those are the ones that we see sort of on the fence, so to speak, that TVA hasn't already announced. TVA has, to their credit, taken some very significant steps in retiring coal units, and we think it is absolutely the right decision for economic and environmental reasons.
Great. Thanks so much, Steve.
And we'll go next to Madeline Faber with Memphis Business Journal. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks, y'all, for getting together today. This is a question, I guess, directed at everyone, but Scott, you mentioned specifically the economic development community, and I was wondering if you could comment a little bit more about how you think, you know, even if the TVA reaches, you know, the minimum of the EPA's attainment level, do you think this would prohibit other plants and businesses from moving in because of their potential pollution level?
Well, no, I mean, there's going to be a significant reduction in nitrogen oxide. There's going to be, of course, a significant reduction in sulfur dioxide. So I think this is overall, whatever happens here, getting rid of the coal plant is going to put Memphis in a better position. I think where the interest of the economic development community comes in is that they are interested in being able to tout Memphis as a place that companies can move to with known predictable energy costs. And moving to natural gas is probably the riskiest thing that you could do with predominance of our home heating needs relying on natural gas. And with this plant, you know, an entirety of our electrical generation being met by natural gas, it's going to put Memphis in a really tight spot in terms of, potential temporary or long-term price hikes that result from either disruptions in supply or market forces as we move into a global natural gas marketplace. So as the EDGE, our development board, and the county commission and the city council and MLGW have looked at it, they've all really endorsed the idea of locking in lower costs over a long term through a variety of means. We have resolutions out of both the City Council and the County Commission calling for 800 to 900 megawatts worth of energy efficiency gains in the Memphis area by 2020, and then looking towards some other alternative sources. MLGW, I think, would be interested. Of course, they're locked into a contract with TVA and have very little wiggle room in terms of what we can install locally within the constraints of TVA's programs.
Mm-hmm.
But this is Stephen Smith with SAFE. It is clear, and there's clear documentation, that on a megawatt-hour or megawatt basis of installed capacity, that both wind and solar will actually employ more people than a gas plant. So, we do feel strongly that if TVA and the Memphis business community were to link up and think about how to do some of the development of some of these projects in and around the Memphis area, and then couple it, as Scott said, with energy efficiency, the overall economic benefits we think would be good for job creation and, you know, again, stimulating other business interests other than just the natural gas folks.
Okay. You also mentioned a group, Apex. You know, do you have any other up-and-coming wind and solar providers that you think are favorable to this plan?
No one else has announced, but we are in touch with developers who are prospecting in the area, and we do know that there is new interest due to, as John mentioned earlier, the technology advances with the wind turbine technology to take advantage of winds that were at an earlier time thought to be not fast and consistent enough to allow wind development, but with the 100-meter and greater hub heights, with the greater swept diameter of the blades, and with some of the advanced turbine technology, there are a number of companies that are prospecting, and they're generally pretty gun-shy to announce until they're kind of ready to go. So we don't want to divulge anybody until they're ready to actually do that. But I would say that it is an accurate statement to say that there is a lot more prospecting happening in West Tennessee and East Arkansas than there has been historically.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And we'll go next to Chris Hawley with Energy Daily. Please go ahead.
Hi, folks. Just had a quick follow-up. Perhaps John will have this number. Does your proposal have a specific recommended amount of capacity savings from energy efficiency?
No, we did not include a specific energy efficiency component to this plan because the way TVA has sort of framed up this this need, it's a supply need, and they are looking at energy efficiency in the integrated resource planning process. And, you know, on a schedule of 3 years, it's awfully difficult to adjust the amount of energy efficiency that could be delivered from their programs that rapidly to the scale of you know, 800 to 1400 megawatts. So,
sure, of course.
And even then, it doesn't, it can't be targeted to Memphis where they do have a need for some kind of a local power generation that would support the grid in that area. So it's a reliability issue really that makes the case for putting some kind of generation in Memphis. And we're not really in a position to question that engineering conclusion.
Right. I understand.
Let me just say this. If you read our comments, one of the other areas that is highlighted, and, you know, be happy to go into detail offline about this, is that, as John was mentioning, some of the reliability issues. Memphis being TVA's largest distributor of power or local power company, and just some of the unique characteristics of Memphis do make there some voltage issues and other things that are unique. And we believe that as we move into a world where renewables are being more readily integrated into the grid, that it is time for TVA to be willing to engage in looking at different types of reactive power options and other things that are becoming available with some of the smarter technologies that are being coupled with distributed generation and others. And so there is an opportunity here, we think, for TVA to provide some leadership and some innovation in the area of reliability and reactive power, not just trying to just overwhelm the voltage issues and everything with a large power plant, but look at some of these combinations to come up with an optimized solution. And there is a significant part of our comments that sort of get into that area as well. And we think that is an area that we think TVA could really benefit and provide some leadership, not only for their system, but also for the whole country.
And we'll go next to Dave Fleshing with the Chattanooga Times Free Press. Please go ahead.
Just two additional questions.
First of all, I wondered why, if this is a bigger push you're making relative to renewables and alternative and efficiency push than you made either at the John Sevier plant that was converted to gas or the Paradise plant that was converted to gas. Is there something different now about Allen? Are you making more of a push to the board to act on this one, and why?
Well, I think that the John Sevier decision had some unique voltage issues. If you remember, David, they were very concerned about as they took John Sevier off about voltage drop in that part of the air service territory. And to be quite honest, we have since that decision invested a fair amount of time understanding those issues better ourselves. And as TVA has climbed the ladder of retirements, we have seen that issues around reliability and voltage support and others in the transmission have become more front and center, and we've really wanted to invest some time in understanding those so that we can comment intelligently. And so I would say that we really weren't as prepared during the John Sevier decision. The Paradise decision, I think, is one that we did ask some questions about, and we do think that that it should be the size of the Paradise facility is certainly worthy of being questioned and challenged. And I think you saw some of that at the November board meeting, where I know at least one of the board members, if not several, were raising some issues. And so I know that there's been some discussions there about that. And, you know, we've always felt that energy efficiency can be very helpful in this. But one of the things that's unique about Allen is that, again, you have it's on the western part of the system. It's got a nice combination of resources, and we believe that that the price points for renewables continue to drop, and we think the reality of what can be done is becoming more and more self-evident as utilities get more comfortable with these types of technologies. So that was one of the reasons, at least SACE. I don't know if Ann or Scott, if you want to add to that on how y'all are feeling about it.
Well, this is Scott with the Sierra Club. We've been working for a decade now to lead the Memphis area in an energy efficiency and renewables direction. And this is a very large decision for our community in regards to, you know, what's going to look like a 40 to 50 year reliance on natural gas if this kind of investment is made here. So we really see this as an opportunity to elevate the debate as to what our true long-term solutions are in regards to our energy mix. And Memphis is a place where we have, again, a large land base that would be available for more utility scale solar installations, a lot of eagerness to engage in investment in rooftop solar, both on a commercial and residential level. And we have a huge need for energy efficiency programming in this area. You know, the vast majority of MLGW customers are living, you know, at or just above poverty, and they're looking at very high utility bills relative to their other household costs now. We'd like to see those costs reduced. And again, for economic development in our area, we'd like to know that we're going to be locking in, you know, stable rates and predictable rates so that we can attract industry to our area.
On that cost issue, I wonder if you could respond a bit to the letter that Senator Alexander and Stephen Fincher, the congressman, asked TVA about relative to specifically a clean line, but it had some broader issues. And in that, they indicated that TVA's average fuel cost, you know, nuclear was $6 a megawatt, and coal was $32, and gas was $39, and off-system wind purchases were $80 per megawatt hour. So, you know, that would suggest that they're saying that wind is, you know, significantly more than twice the rate of what gas would be.
Yeah, well, the most recent number that little birdies have told me is that, you know, Clean Line has been making offerings around the 4.3 to 4.5 range per kilowatt hour. And so I think that, you know, one of the things that we're up against here is that the cost of renewable energy have been dropping dramatically. I mean, hugely dramatically, kind of by that exponential curve that we see in the technology industries, information technology industries, and people's understanding of it's not keeping up with it. And so, you know, I would say that, you know, costs for wind, costs for solar are much lower than a lot of people are assuming and much more competitive when we look at what is being predicted by people who are analyzing future fossil fuel costs.
Yeah, David, this is Steve. I've, you know, am generally aware of that letter, and we just don't agree with the numbers that Senator Alexander has put out. And you know, I think he is taking some things out of context, and I'm not sure he's including everything in there. As Scott said, the numbers that Cleanline and others are putting forward and where we're seeing on sort of some of the forward cost curves on these technologies are very different than what he is doing, what the senator has done, and sort of going back retroactively and, you know, trying to look at higher priced stuff. And again, I don't believe that Watts-Bar 2 is going to generate at the numbers that he's claiming. So I think there's a little bit of a apples and orange thing, and it's really easy to sort of pull numbers out of context and sort of throw them around. But the reality is that, you know, we want to see what people are actually willing to do contracts for, and we believe that the renewable prices are getting very competitive, and that TVA needs to consider it part of the mix. And again, the fact that you can lock in a price for an extended period of time with no fuel escalation is a very attractive feature to renewables that we think TVA, as they get longer in the gas in their gas profile, need to more and more seriously consider that they have some, call it a hedge or call it whatever you want. John, I don't know if you wanted to go back to the earlier question about sort of the context for some of the decisions in the IRP, because I know that you had an interest in that.
Sure. So one of the things that we're all three of the groups that are speaking today and a number of other groups as well are involved in is TVA's 2015 Integrated Resource Plan, and they're in the process of finishing that right now. But we've taken a look forward, and if you assume that, you know, Sevier and Paradise are sort of done deals, Allen represents potentially as much as half or even all of the additional gas capacity that TVA might need over the next decade if it's going to build out a balanced portfolio of resources. So one of the reasons I think that we are particularly interested in seeing TVA adopt an optimized approach to this decision is that it really doesn't make sense for TVA to build all of the gas it needs and then turn and start sort of filling in the cracks with, you know, that are left with renewable energy. We think they ought to be proceeding on a balanced basis where they're building renewable energy alongside gas as they go along. And what we think we'll see at the end of the road on this will be that TVA will have a significant amount of gas capacity, but that renewable energy is going to be so productive and so inexpensive to operate and acquire and operate, frankly, that TVA will end up not using those gas plants that much. They'll be vital parts of its energy infrastructure, but not from the point of view of running the plant, but from the point of view of having it there to ensure reliability and grid stability. And that's a different perspective than utilities have had over the past, and I think that it's going to take a few years for TVA to get used to that, and we think they need to go ahead and start thinking in that direction now with Allen rather than waiting for the next decision and then getting to that decision and maybe putting it off again further and further. So we think it's time for TVA to start moving in this direction now, and we think the staff have demonstrated the technical understanding of all the different pieces here, and it's just time to put them together.
TVA has said in the past, and Bill Johnson reaffirmed in the earnings call last week, that he says that federal law requires TVA to use the least cost option for energy. First of all, do you disagree with that assessment in terms of evaluating the options? Do they have to go with the least cost option? And then I guess would you argue, secondly, that this is the least cost option to go with renewable or energy efficiency?
No, I don't agree that TVA has to just sort of pick the lowest price. If they were going to pick the lowest price power plant, they would build all combustion turbine plants. And TVA is clearly at, you know, Paradise or somewhere else contemplating more expensive power plants like a combined cycle plant. The reason they're choosing a combined cycle plant is over the lifetime of the plant, they feel like it provides a better service to their customers in a lot of different ways. But we think that you can make the cost of the overall delivery over the lifetime of the plant even lower by adding in solar and wind. So we've done some sort of back-of-the-envelope analysis, maybe a little bit better than back-of-the-envelope, where we think that the cost of 1,400 megawatts of gas only would be about 8.6 cents a kilowatt hour. But then if you add in solar and wind over the lifetime of that strategy, with only 800 megawatts of gas, you would end up at 7.8 cents a kilowatt hour. So you'd have nearly a 10%, or actually just about exactly a 10% cut in the cost of power by adding in solar and wind. So we do think it's cheaper in the long run, but we also think that it meets all of TVA's other requirements. It's never just simply a least cost solution. They have environmental stewardship responsibilities. They have reliability responsibilities, as well as cost responsibilities.
And this is Ann Davis. If I can just chime in here, as Steve Smith and I pointed out in an op-ed that ran in the Knoxville newspaper over the weekend, you know, you got to look at the total cost of these things, and you can't, I mean, for example, with Watts Bar Nuclear Plant, there are $1.5 billion in cost overruns there. And when you're talking about coal, we're talking about $1.2 billion of pollution control measures at Gallatin and money to clean up Kingston coal ash spill. So you got to factor in the cost of dirty energy when you talk about and the environmental repercussions when you talk about how much it's costing to produce the energy.
Next question.
And we'll go back to Chris Hawley with Energy Daily. Please go ahead.
Just to make sure I understand what the preferred outcome at this board meeting later this month would be from your perspective is that the board agree to proceed with the an increment of the whatever the demand requirement is with a combined cycle gas plant, rather than meeting all of whatever that demand increment is with a combination of the two gas technologies. And by doing this, you get TVA gives itself more time to consider the optimal mix of non-fossil resources to supply any additional demand. Is that right?
That is generally correct, yes. We believe that there probably is a critical path for engineering and construction that is necessary to comply with the consent decree. And again, as we outlined at the beginning of the call, all of the groups agree wholeheartedly that the retirement of Allen as a coal unit is 100% agreed upon and acceptable. I think the issue is what is the exact size and the timing that is necessary for any gas component, and then we were disappointed to see that there was not a blend to optimize the portfolio in the replacement of the Allen coal plant that would lead to a better overall option. So the board will likely need to make a decision on August 21st that deals with the critical path components, but we believe that there is some time for the board to contemplate and ask the staff to further evaluate an optimization that could happen with some of the other technologies that would decrease the amount of overall gas that would be necessary and come up with a better, both economic and environmentally performing option for the Tennessee Valley.
And Steve, you're going to either send us these comments or tell us how to find them?
Yeah, the comments should be up on our website, we can make sure that you have a copy. They were submitted on Thursday, but I think under the if you go to cleanenergy.org and you go to the highlighted point in the media room, you can actually link off of the press availability to the actual comments themselves.
Okay.
And they were jointly submitted with all the organizations.
Okay. It's been very interesting. Thank you.
This is Scott Banbury. I'm going to throw out there that I've already emailed copies of the Tennessee chapter of the Sierra Club's comments, which go into a little bit more local concerns that we have about the decision here in Memphis. And I've emailed those to Madeline and to Tom Charlier, Commercial Appeal, and to Suzanne Kurth, Commercial Appeal. Who else do I need to email it to?
Yeah, and yes, Scott, we'll get you the list of the folks that are here. Do we have any other questions?
And there are no further questions.
Okay, great. Well, again, I want to thank everybody for joining and participating. If you'd like to follow up with any of us afterwards, please feel free to do so, and we can get any additional information that you need. And we look forward to keeping the discussion going, and thanks for your interest.
Yes, thank you.